From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up earlier today, the Trump administration announced that it would not allow government-sponsored research using fetal tissue from elective abortions to continue. This is yet another step by the Trump administration in the march to restore the sanctity of all human life in America. One of the policymakers that has been working on this issue for a number of years, even before the Trump administration began, is North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. He joins us with more details in just a moment. Also, China is not the only government using facial recognition technology. The FBI has amassed a database of more than 640 million photographs. Republicans and Democrats alike are expressing concern that the privacy of law-abiding Americans might be violated. I'll talk with Emily Birnbaum, reporter at The Hill, who's been following the issue. And parents, pastors, and politicians helped shelve the Drag Queen Story Hour in some libraries in Ohio. Aaron Baer, president of the Citizens for Community Values, will be here with more details later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter. It is at T. Perkins. All right. Earlier this afternoon, the Department of Health and Human Services announced that the National Institutes of Health will discontinue research involving the use of human fetal tissue from elective abortions. Joining me now to talk about this positive news is Republican Congressman Mark Meadows. He represents the 11th District of North Carolina. He serves on the Oversight and Reform Committee and the Transportation Infrastructure Committee and is the chair of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Meadows, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be back with you and with your listeners, and especially on this day where the president once again has shown that he is willing to stand for life and stand for those unborn that can't speak for themselves.
Yeah, this is one of those situations, Congressman, where the president himself leaning in on this, and this has been remarkable to watch over the last 2.5 years, that this president, the issue of life is not one that, other people have to tell him, hey, Mr. President, you need to do this. They kind of just point him in the direction, and he takes these things on.
Well, he takes them on, but I think even bigger than that, Tony. Listen, let's be honest about it. When he was candidate Trump and not President Trump, a number of us in the pro-life community had concerns with whether he was going to be a fighter and a champion for life cause or just be someone who says, yes, I'm pro-life and allow things to go as normal.
Which is what we normally get.
It's what we've always gotten, almost, with very few exceptions. There have been a few that have really been champions here. But let me just tell you, this is the most pro-life president we have had in the history of our country. Today's decision is no exception. He is a champion. He's not just an advocate. He's been a champion for pro-life, and all of the pro-life community should be applauding because this was a tough decision that he went against a whole lot of the bureaucrats here in Washington, D.C., to actually make sure that this happens.
Well, let's talk about the substance of this decision, Congressman Meadows, because what this is, you have to take it in the context of what we've seen in the last few years. You had the David DeLeiden videos, undercover videos showing Planned Parenthood trafficking in human baby body parts. So that's a part of – there's this underground market almost for government or for baby body parts for research. But even though there may be some separation here, by the government funding this type of research, they're creating a demand, and therefore someone's going to meet that demand.
Well, they are creating a demand, and I think the thing that bothered me the most, and even bothered a lot of people who are not pro-life and maybe more pro-abortion, but when you start seeing dollar amounts attached to baby parts, and so, a liver or a lung or a brain, and you get different prices based on how long they've been in the mother's womb and when they were aborted. I mean, it just is disgusting. It is not something that a humane society and a civil society should ever do. And so, listen, you're going to hear all kinds of medical pushback where people are saying that this is going to affect medical research. And I'm here to tell you and your listeners, there are plenty of alternatives. And actually, I believe that there are a number of alternatives that are cheaper than what we're doing right now. But don't believe that lie when you hear it, because they're going to say, well, all of these wonderful things that could happen are now not going to happen. That's just not based on science.
Well, the reality is this type of research has been going on for quite some time and has led to no medical breakthroughs. And so the point here is that this is both unethical, but it's also ineffective in terms of this, what the use of fetal tissue has led to. Now, you mentioned there are other alternatives. The administration announcing today that already $20 million has been put into alternative research looking for various breakthroughs in science. And this administration clearly is not anti-science. Let's talk about the practicalities of this decision today, where the administration has been looking, reviewing the use of fetal tissue for almost a year now, looking through these various contracts. Today, announcing that from this date forward, none of these existing contracts would be renewed, nor would new contracts be issued that would involve the use of human fetal tissue.
Well, they did, and I will say Secretary Azar and his team, along with those in the White House, working hand in glove to try to not only say that the existing contracts will not be renewed when they come up, but that they won't endeavor to try to set up a new procurement process. As you know, Tony, you alerted me to some of this as it was happening under the Trump administration, under the radar, where they were actually purchasing and doing new procurement contracts. And that's when the pro-life members of Congress actually kicked in. Now, here's why it's critical. It is the voice of your listeners that this administration is paying attention to, and it is the voice of their applause, both verbally and emails, that will continue to encourage this administration to stand strong, because the pushback is going to be tremendous, and the president needs to understand that this bold action, really is noticed by his supporters.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, my guest, discussing a major announcement today by the Trump administration, yet another decision to advance the sanctity of human life, deciding today, announcing that the Department of Health and Human Services, under their contracting authority, would do no more research, fund no more research using fetal baby body parts or tissue from elective abortions. Now, I'm going to go back for just a moment to the issue you brought up, because I want our listeners to be able to understand this and to be able to defend this. That is that this research has led to no cures. The use of human fetal tissue has led to no cures for diseases. The administration said, look, at some point you've got to say, this is both unethical because there's concerns about it, but it's also ineffective. And let's put our money in something that has greater promise. And that's what this administration is doing.
Well, that is what they're doing. I will say this, that we had a hearing, as you know, Tony, we had a hearing in our committee back when the Republicans were in the majority in the House to deal with this. And yet it becomes a subject that oftentimes becomes very divisive, because we all want cures for these new rare disease, or sometimes for things, cancer and Alzheimer's, sure, and other things that we actually have loved ones that really suffer from those. And so it's the hope of using something to get a cure, and yet you're exactly right. When we look at this type of research, there are plenty of alternatives, one, to allow us to continue to do research, but in terms of what this has actually produced, it has not produced an outcome that has matched the way that they have tried to promote it.
Well, the alternatives in which the initial $20 million is going to be spent, and then more is coming, I understand, is in the effective and ethical alternatives, which are already proving to be effective, and that's in umbilical cord blood stem cells, adult stem cells. So there are other alternatives there that are already producing results. Why not put the money into those for greater research? And that's apparently what the administration is doing.
Well, that's what the administration is going to do. And I would say those other alternatives are ethical alternatives. And it doesn't make you have to choose between life and death.
Well, and it also, to me, would be, you know, God has created the human body in an amazing way. And in the adult stem cells, it's kind of like your in-body repair kit. If you just extract them and use them, they're being used to treat so many different diseases and conditions. I just don't think that, I don't care how much money you spend, how much time you spent, that you know, God has created man in such a way that to destroy life will give life. I just don't think it's going to – I don't think it'll ever pan out. And I think this is –
Well, it won't pan out because it goes against really biblical truths that oftentimes have a real practical – in fact, all of the times have very practical consequences of
– Right.
And we see them in daily – in our daily lives. So I can tell you, I'm so excited and as you know, wanted to make sure that your listeners heard firsthand that their voice was heard on Capitol Hill. But more importantly, when Congress didn't act, this administration did act. And just a real shout out and applause for the President of the United States for standing bold for life once again.
All right. Before we run out of time in this segment, Congressman Meadows, what should people do at this point? You want our listeners to call the president and thank him for taking this stand. Is that the best approach?
Well, they need to. And if they can send emails or if they're prolific Twitter,
if they
can tweet and they can do that, put it out there. The more public they can be with their applause, he needs to understand that oftentimes that silent majority needs to be vocal right now. And I want him to hear all the way over where he's giving a historic speech even over the next couple of days, today and tomorrow. I want him to hear over there in Great Britain and France that well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Well, you're certainly not going to hear it from the press, that's for sure. So we'll have to raise our voices loud. To Congressman Mark Meadows, as always, thank you. Thank you for your efforts on this as well, and great to have you on the program.
Well, thank you. God bless you, Tony, and thank you for being such a unbelievable sentinel to make sure that life is protected. It's today is a sweet day of you really reaping part of what you've done on behalf of so many that can't speak for themselves.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Mark. All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of this break.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
Happy In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com. Paid for by Family Research Council.
Can United States senators interrogate court nominees on their religious beliefs? This is a controversial question that our country is facing today. In light of this controversy, FRC has taken up the task of answering this question with one of their latest publications, Rebels Without a Clause. We've seen in recent Senate confirmation hearings a troubling pattern arise where senators have begun questioning presidential nominees about their faith as an attempt to discredit them. These interrogations have gone so far as to asking nominees of their theological beliefs, church membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits. It has been an alarming display of hostility toward religion and people of faith. Visit frc.org/test to learn what questioning the Constitution's No Religious Test Clause allows and forbids in the process of confirming judicial nominees. That's frc.org/test.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. We ran out of time in the previous segment, so let me give you the numbers and the contact information for the president. The White House switchboard number, 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. Or if you'd like to send an email, you go to whitehouse.gov/contact, whitehouse.gov/contact, and you can send an email that way. I'll give that that information a little bit later if you didn't catch it. All right, lawmakers are intensifying their calls for a temporary ban on the federal government's use of facial recognition technology after the disclosure that the FBI has amassed a database of more than 640 million photographs. The revelation made by a representative of the government's top watchdog, the Government Accountability Office, during a House Oversight and Reform Committee hearing on Tuesday stunned lawmakers. That's the opening paragraph of Emily Birnbaum, a reporter at The Hill, and Emily joins us now. Emily, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I think you captured how stunned lawmakers were when you quoted Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, who said, quote, 640 million photos. There are only 330 million people in the country. Now, where are these 640 million pictures from? I mean, who are these people?
So it's a combination of a lot of different databases. So there is one database that includes 36 million mugshot photos specifically. The FBI has partnered with 21 states who have allowed them access to their driver's license directories. They also have access to visa applicant photos and photos that are owned and operated by the state and defense departments.
And the purpose of this facial recognition technology, what is the FBI using it for?
So the FBI says they only use it during criminal investigations. If they have a photo of an unknown person, they can take that and to the database, and then they can try to find some leads.
But the lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle, Republican and Democrats, and it's hard to find them on the same side of anything these days, but
right.
Both political parties expressed concern. What were their concerns?
So they're basically saying all of this technology has been rolled out across the country with no law. dictating the parameters. There is very little oversight. Before now, there's been very little congressional interest in doing anything about it. And so they're saying that potentially they may want to halt the implementation of this technology and allow these various government agencies to address some privacy, civil liberties, civil rights issues before they continue to implement it.
Now, could part of the concern be that there's been a lot of discussion in the last several months over China's use of facial recognition to repress minorities, religious minorities, Uyghur Muslims in particular? Has that come up at all in the conversation, how other governments are using this technology?
Yeah, that's something that came up a lot. So the hearing this week was the second by House oversight on facial recognition technology. They had one 2 weeks ago as well. And during that, people said, well, we don't want to become like China, who basically has access to and scans most of their citizens' faces on a regular basis, sometimes for the purposes that you're talking about. And so they say we need far more guardrails in place so that we don't end up with a situation that looks like that.
Now, you tell me about the coalition of prominent privacy and civil rights groups that have been calling for an all-out ban on its use by the government. What's that group made up of?
So that's led by the ACLU, and then there are prominent civil rights groups such as the NAACP, the Council on American Islamic Relations, digital rights groups such as the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and they're all coming together and they're saying they're calling for a temporary ban. And their legislation on this could come in kind of three flavors. So there could be a temporary ban, there could be an all-out ban, which some more aggressive, left-leaning privacy groups are calling for, or there could just be more regulation. So now we're just waiting to see how the conversation is going to play out on Capitol Hill, where they're going to come down.
So, Emily, tell me, how are the political lines playing out here, where you've got, you know, Republicans, Democrats, as I mentioned earlier? I can't think of a time in our country's history, in modern history, I should say, where we've been more divided. What are the lines here? Are we seeing this kind of a combined effort that's both Republican and Democrat, conservative and liberal, expressing concern about this?
Yeah, that was what was so significant about this first hearing. Democrats and Republicans were saying essentially the same thing. They were raising the same kinds of concerns about privacy, civil liberties, about the Fourth Amendment. And they continued to go back and forth with each other saying, I'm really excited to see that we're on the same page on this, especially when there's so much division in Congress over the ongoing Trump investigations. You know, maybe as they come to more specific proposals as to what to do legislatively, the fault lines will begin to appear more prominently. But for right now, they all are saying we're concerned, and at least they're on message with that.
So, Emily, what do you see as the way forward here from the standpoint of the federal government? What actions do you see them taking?
I think that I'm a little bit skeptical. I think right now on the record, a lot of lawmakers are saying that they would get behind a moratorium on facial recognition tech. I'm a little bit skeptical of that. Some other people I've spoken to have said, well, that can be very tricky. How would that work? You know, would the FBI just completely halt what it's doing right now? Would TSA and airports? And so I do think that they're going to probably put in place more oversight and more regulations, and they're going to definitely push the FBI to follow the GAO's recommendations, which they have not so far.
All right. We'll be watching this very, very closely. Emily Birnbaum, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. You can actually read Emily's piece at TonyPerkins.com. Look, I was opposed years ago, almost 20 years ago, to the Patriot Act because it's the way it can be misused by those who, you know, come later. And that's exactly what we saw with the Patriot Act. Remember? I mean, under the Obama administration? I'm very leery of this type of technology. I mean, look what the Chinese are doing with it. All right, when we come back, parents, politicians, and pastors all getting together to shelve a drag queen story hour in Ohio. It's what happens when people speak up. We talk about that next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. In the past 3 weeks, two drag queen story hour events at Ohio Public Libraries for children have been canceled. The events, which were designed to teach children how to become drag queens, were shelved after parents, pastors, and elected officials spoke up. Joining me now to talk about the public pressure that led to the canceling of these events is Aaron Baer, president of Citizens for Community Values in Ohio. Aaron, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be with you, Tony.
Well, first, congratulations. I know you were a part of this. The House Speaker, Larry Householder, kind of led the way on this, sending a letter to the Licking County Public Library. He wrote this. He said, quote, "When I was first informed our public libraries were being used to teach teenage boys how to become drag queens, I thought it was a joke. But the joke is apparently on taxpayers who fund our libraries. This is a stunning, bizarre breach of the public trust, and it must stop." Let me ask you, Aaron, how instrumental was that letter by the House Speaker there in Ohio?
You know, this was the letter from Speaker Householder was really the culmination, and it was the sort of final nail in the coffin for these drag queen events that we got shut down after so many parents, moms in particular, and pastors started organizing locally in their community. I think, Tony, I know we've seen for years the power of what happens when families stand up, when pastors stand up. Locally, and the fact that this really grassroots effort that started in Delaware County, so just north of Columbus, and then in Licking County, just east of Columbus, Ohio, really started bubbling up to make it all the way up to the speaker. And then for us to have elected officials in place that are willing to speak out once it gets to them is just powerful. But we're not here today if it wasn't for parents, for really a grassroots movement starting off.
I think that's a really important point to make, Aaron, that the elected officials, as good and committed as many of them are, and I speak as one who served in public office and know a lot of people there do the right thing, but it does one of two things. When you have people, parents speaking out, you have a pastor speaking out, it either encourages those elected officials as they're already taking these stands, or it encourages them to take the stand if they're not doing it. So it's critical that parents and pastors speak out when they see these things happening in their communities. Now, as I understand it, because of this, it appears that
some of these other events, or at least one of the other events, was canceled after they saw what happened to the first one after the speaker spoke out about it.
That's right. So these events got canceled. Now, one of them was rescheduled and actually took place today in Delaware, where they moved it to a private comic shop, which, again, it's private property. They could do what they want. But, you know, at the end of the day, the harmful effects are still happening with these things. What these events are so targeted to do is, and they actually promote this a lot of times in their materials, is to teach, to train children how to become drag queens, to train young boys how to become drag queens, and then teach them all of these safe sex, as they would call them, safe sex practices that go along with it. And so it really is, that's what was so great about what Larry Householder said in his letter was, listen, you don't need to be a Christian, a church attender to recognize this is radical. This is crazy what we're doing, and in no way, shape, or form should taxpayer dollars be used for this.
You know, what amazes me about this, Aaron, and I've talked about this before on the program, is that, you know, we don't have prayer and Bible in our schools because, the courts have decided that. But it was based upon the fact that, well, we shouldn't expose children to that because they're so impressionable. But here we have, in our public libraries, funded by our tax dollars, opening the door to people to come in to indoctrinate them in sexual confusion and perversion. I would add.
That's being done
on the taxpayer dime.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, this is one of those things where we've actually been, for a lot of officials, they kind of need educated on what the First Amendment protects. And the First Amendment does protect free speech, and it protects the diversity of views and religions and things like that. But it's never protected obscenity, especially obscenity targeted at children. And that's really been the message that we've been pounding home. And you know, a lot of the parents that when they first reached out, they were getting bullied by these attorneys and things like that, that said, well, no, this is a First Amendment issue, it's a free speech issue. When you're talking about drag events in public libraries targeting kids, that's not protected first speech in any sense of the word.
No, it's time for parents to protect their children from those who are preying upon them. And that's exactly what this is. You know, people think, oh, it's innocuous, it's harmless, these drag queen story of. No. Folks, this is about them indoctrinating your children, confusing their children, driving a wedge between the values that you are trying to instill in their children and those on the left want to do. Aaron, thanks so much. Again, congratulations, and I hope others will take a cue from Ohio and what parents, what you did with community values and what the House Speaker did there. So a great outcome. Thanks so much for standing up.
Appreciate it, Tony. Appreciate FRC for all the great work you do.
All right. Thanks so much. Look, folks, this is how you can get it done. You just have to stand up and speak out. And, you know, this is Aaron Baer heads up one of the policy councils that we have in about 40 different states. They're effective. You need to team up with them and get connected with them and speak out. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about next. I'm sure some of you have seen these same drag queen events come to libraries in your community. I want to hear about it. What have you done? And if they do come, will you speak up? We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this. Don't go away.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Can United States senators interrogate court nominees on their religious beliefs? This is a controversial question that our country is facing today. In light of this controversy, FRC has taken up the task of answering this question with one of their latest publications, Rebels Without a Clause. We've seen in recent Senate confirmation hearings a troubling pattern arise where senators have begun questioning presidential nominees about their faith as an attempt to discredit them. These interrogations have gone so far as to asking nominees of their theological beliefs, church membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits. It has been an alarming display of hostility toward religion and people of faith. Visit frc.org/test to learn what questioning the Constitution's No Religious Test Clause allows and forbids in the process of confirming judicial nominees. That's frc.org/test.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. This drag queen story hour and these drag queen events, we've talked about it before. It's happened in my home state of Louisiana. It's actually gone all across the country. And this is not just, you know, a couple of crazy people get together and had, you know, too much at happy hour and decided to try this. This is a concerted nationwide effort. I mean, they've got a website, they're promoting it through the libraries, and they're hiding under, as we've heard, the First Amendment. But they're designed to indoctrinate children and to go after the minds of these small children and promote a radical, anti-biblical view of human sexuality. That's what it's about. And, you know, too many parents think it's, you know, just innocuous. It's harmless. It's, you know, hey, it's at the library. So I want to know, have you seen these in your community? And if so, have you spoken out? Or if they do come to your community, will you speak out? The phone number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. By the way, a couple of items just to take care of while callers are calling in, 866-372-7234. Let me give you the switchboard number to the White House again. Top of the program, if you missed it, you can catch it later, archived at TonyPerkins.com, talking to Congressman Mark Meadows about a major decision today by the Trump administration to end the practice of using fetal tissue in research. This is fetal tissue, this baby tissue, derived from elective abortions. That's been a very controversial issue, expanded under the Obama administration. And they've been evaluating it over the last 6 months and today coming out with a decision that the contracts that are up, that actually expire today, have been, they've been extended in 90-day periods over the period of this review. They are announcing today that they will not be renewed, nor will any new contracts be issued. That would use in an unethical manner and in an effective manner human tissue of babies. So you can call the White House and thank the president for once again taking a step toward making America a pro-life nation, 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. Or if you'd like to send an email, you can go to the White House website,
whitehouse.gov/contact, and you can send an email to the president thanking him for being a pro-life president. I'm telling you, this administration has done more to advance the sanctity of human life than any administration since Roe v. Wade. I'm telling you, it is happening. In an issue like this, at many, and Mark Meadows, Congressman Meadows, made reference to this earlier, and it's so true, is that on the campaign trail, and that's what I think what drives people crazy on the left about Donald Trump, is that he actually has been doing what he said he was going to do. Many politicians, candidates promise things, but then when they get in office, oh, well, we really can't do that. And we've heard for years, for decades, about advancing human life. And oftentimes, to their defense, what you have when you have a good conservative elected, they stop the bad things, or at least they push the pause button. But rarely do you have someone that does rewind, say, hey, wait a minute. We're not even going to slow this thing down. We're going to get rid of it. And that's what Donald Trump has done on so many of these life issues. This being one that, you know, this is, I hate to say, deep in the weeds, so to speak, from a policy standpoint. This is not one that makes headlines, you know, the use of fetal tissue. Now, those of us involved in the policy world and here in Washington and the pro-life movement, yes, we've tracked this. We understand it. We know the significance here. But it's not one that the president's going to get huge kudos from the pro-life movement, because it just, or from the vast majority of Americans, it's just not that prominent. But it shows the level of commitment to this. So it's worthy of sending a message to the president saying thank you. Again, the Capitol switchboard number 202-456-1111 or thewhitehouse.gov/contact. You can send an email. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. I know I've been – appreciate Sarah sitting in for me. I've been out to kind of doing a planning retreat here for the last couple of days. The White House – I'm sorry. The discharge petition, speaking of life issues, the discharge petition on the Abortion Survivor Protection Act, the Born Alive Act, is up to 201 signatures from House members. Need 218 to force a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. So still need you to contact your member of Congress and find out if they've signed it. You can first go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over to Steve Scalise's site. He has a running list of those who have signed that petition. But if you've not yet contacted your member of Congress, you need to. You need to. Okay. Now we're going to the phone lines. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Brian in Missouri. Brian, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, sir. I've had a pleasure of chatting with you guys in the past, and I really appreciate all the good work that you do.
Well, thank you.
I also appreciate the fact that you rely upon the facts that all significant and a positive success on stem cell issues have been with alternative tissues, and no progress has been made with fetal tissue.
That's right.
It's a good thing that we're shifting our funding toward success and backing off funding failure.
I'll tell you, Brian, that always puzzled me. Yeah. That always puzzled me, yeah. Brian, that we were putting, and even in the previous Republican administrations, we kept putting money down this rat hole that was producing nothing, where we saw I don't know what the number is. Dr. David Prentice used to be on our team here, who was a leading expert on adult stem cell research, and I think we were somewhere approaching 100 different medical conditions being treated with adult stem cells, and zero with embryonic. Right.
Well, that's the nature of the government beast. If you look at all the other funding recipients, most of them deal with failure. But that's not what I called about. I called about the drag queen story hour. It's great to get it shut down. And what I saw here a couple of years ago in the public library up north in the northern tier state was, I think, a predecessor to this, where during the summer program, where kids are out doing their summer reading programs, they were glorifying these banned books. Now, they're not the banned books like Hitler burned, which were against the various things that they were They were non-supportive, but they were promoting actively the banned books from the past that glorified homosexual and lesbian lifestyles. And this was in the public library, and I think it was a continuation of the fact that these people cannot physically reproduce, therefore they must recruit. I'll get off from listening to any response you have.
Well, thank you, Brian. Appreciate you listening and calling in. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Where we see those that, and it's the left in general, I would speak to, that, you know, look at children as if they are consumers of limited resources, as opposed to how God describes them as blessings. And I say this with all disclosure here as a father of five, and I count all five of them as blessings. And, you know, but the left sees children as bad. I mean, we see this over and over again. So they don't have children. So how do they continue the proliferation of their ideology? Well, they can't do it in their own kids because they're not having them, and they're having fewer of them. So they have to come after the children of conservatives, of Christians, of normal thinking people. And so they do that. They've done it with great effectiveness through the schools. And that's why so many people are waking up and saying, oh, we've got to look at alternatives. Homeschooling. That's why homeschooling is growing. It's still a small percentage, relatively speaking, but it's grown significantly because parents realize now it's so blatant that they are coming after the children. And so I think it is important to, number one, your responsibility is for your children. And I've said this many, many times. You must be aware of what your children are being exposed to and taught, and you have a responsibility to make sure that it is not contradicting your values. And so you need to get them out of the public schools or be in a good school system. You cannot absolve yourself of that responsibility given to you by God. But it doesn't stop there. We also have a responsibility to speak out for the well-being of the community and other children. And that's why when these types of events occur in libraries, public spaces in our public schools, we still need to be involved and speak out. And it's amazing what happens when parents are willing to speak out. Now, granted, they will be, you know, demonized. There'll be letters to the editor. They'll be called homophobic, bigots, you know, every name in the book. I hear it every day. I don't care. The children are more important, and especially your children. And that's the way we've got to look at it. I've said this before. My wife, she has a T-shirt she wears. It goes Mama Bear. And I think my birthday, my kids got me a coffee mug that says Papa Bear. You know, some of us need to be protective, like the Mama Bears who protect their cubs. Nothing comes between the cub and the mama. All right, let's work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to Kenny in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Kenny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, good to speak to you again. I praise God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just mentioned something that I was going to mention. Thank you for warning the parents about what's happening in the libraries with this perverted movement. And I was going to say, let's never fail to mention that it's happening in the public schools, and you just mentioned that, so I thank God for that. Well, I tell you, Tony, it seems like it's time because increasingly now, and thank God it's President Trump and not Hillary. I thank God for that. But, Tony, you know, especially here lately, we've been hearing that our president, who the evangelicals have supported so much, he is giving praise and honor to the homosexual movement and apparently the transgender movement. You people of influence like yourself, Franklin Graham, and others who have the ear of the president need to warn him that if he doesn't stand against homosexuality and this transgender movement, that God will bring severity on America. So I hope that you will pray about that, Tony, and others, and get word to President Trump. I know he's done a lot for us, but you must warn him that he's going to have to stop supporting this perverted movement of homosexuality and transgenderism. Thank you so much, Tony.
All right, Kenny, thank you for the call. And let me just say this to Kenny's comment. One thing that happens when you have an administration where you actually can communicate with the president and his team, a lot of the communication takes place behind the scenes. And, you know, when you're working with people, and this has been my policy for 16 years since I've been here, people take my phone calls and talk with me, then I talk with them rather than talking about them in public. And so on these issues where we disagree, we have an administration where we do communicate with them and we share these concerns and in fact, have over some of the things that Kenny brought up. So, and then we, you know, at a point, if we don't get the response or if the problems continue, then we address them publicly. But first, we take them privately. All right, let's work in another phone call here before we run out of time. Let's go to Nancy in Mobile, Alabama. Nancy, welcome to Washington Watch.
I wanted to ask if they are still going to put aborted baby tissue in the vaccinations.
Well, Nancy, thank you. The question was about there's two issues here. One is the vaccines. There's some vaccines which are made that use fetal tissue in the research and the production. That is a separate issue from what we're discussing here today with the administration. The administration saying that going forward, no research, no government-funded research will be using aborted, elective aborted baby tissue. All right, so those are two separate issues, Nancy, but thanks for calling in and asking about that. So the administration saying going forward, no longer will tax dollars be funding research using aborted fetal baby tissue. Now, there's private research going on, but a lot of it is not. One of the callers made this point earlier. The reason that the government is the place where people come to get money is because the stuff doesn't work. And the fetal tissue research is not producing anything, so privately it's not going to be funded. It's going to have a hard time getting funding because it just doesn't have a track record of producing anything. All right. Let me give you that the White House switchboard number again, 202-456-1111 or whitehouse.gov/contact. All right, folks, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be back today. Lord willing, I'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until that time, let me encourage you once again with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.